So welcome in, kingly brothers and hero husbands from around the globe. Welcome to this episode of the Be The Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where every single thing we do, say and express aims to support you becoming the marriage transformative hero of your relationship. Today's episode, we're talking about how to go from marriage being a prison to a playground in 3 steps. Prison to playground in 3 steps. And always, you know, the main steps, I just really am compelled to remind you all individually and collectively what we're working with here. Always. We're working with your mind. You can get super philosophical about what is the mind, blah, blah, blah. Your mind, your nervous system, how you perceive your world. That's what we're fundamentally working with here. Of course, I will relate and speak to, you know, your marriage on the outside, your relationship with your woman, your communication. But foundationally, these steps today, they're informing and creating adaptive responses, constructive adaptive responses within your nervous system, so that the way you perceive your relationship, the way you interpret what you're looking at, the way you set your nervous system up to do that interpretation and the meaning that it places upon what is showing up in your life, that's where transformation comes. It's inner to outer. That said, let's get down into the 3 steps. These 3 steps are the foundational steps. I want to really unapologetically put it out there. These are the 3 major steps at the beginning of Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023. This is the major training program that we're doing online. It's already launched. You'll find a link in the podcast description. I want to put it forward. This is what we're going to be talking about. A small bunch of heroic husbands around the planet are going to go into that 4-month intensive program to be submerged into this information, these exercises, these reflections, and are going to come out the far side being the husband she brags about. So what I'm offering here today is like, that's what's going to be in the program. In the program, you're going to have accountability. You're going to have like fearless coaching on the coaching hot seat. You know, you're going to get a flame under your ass. There's going to be insane exercises there. And it's just a focus and magnification of that over 4 months solidly. You're thinking, you're talking, and you're taking action, putting it behind that. So it's going to be an amazing journey. And I really just, you know, I bring your attention to that. Check it out. You know, what do you want to have as your vision in 4 months' time as your relationship? And that is the bridge into step number one. Step number one, from going what 99% of guys, willingly or unwittingly, would call the prison of marriage that they have created around themselves and their wife and their kids in their castle. To go from prison to playground, you've got to have a vision. It's imperative that you create a compelling vision of what you want in marriage, what you want in your sex life, what you want in the way you communicate with your woman, what you want in your extended married life, like the whole ecosystem of what you and your beautiful queen have created together. Maybe you have kids. What's that whole lifestyle? That's what I would call your married life. What's your vision of that? Here's the startling fact. 99% of husbands have no vision of what they want in marriage. Yet, the opposite side of that coin, 99% regularly focus on what they dislike in their marriage. Touch base with yourself. On the inside, maybe like you're a classic nice guy like I have been for years. I'm still in recovery, as Robert Glover, author of No More Mr. Nice Guy, said on the podcast episode he did with me and we shared with you. Maybe you've listened to that. I'm still in recovery. But a lot of nice guy persona stuff is, you know, maybe the dislike and the complaining is on the inside and it only comes out in dirty, shitty, you know, when your shadow side comes out when you argue, you know, like every couple of weeks or a couple of months, it spills out in this dramatic outpouring and you complain and your resentment and your bitterness and your criticisms come out. a lot of times it's in the background in the mind, and guys sort of minimize and normalize that, going like, oh, well, you know, like I say nice things, I compliment her. But in secret, you know, when you're driving the car to and from work, when, you know, your wife isn't around, when you've a bit of chill out time to yourself, if you're not zoned out or in a trance sedating the negative emotions that are showing up in your life, which happens a lot, when you're reflecting on your marriage in the privacy of your own mind, there's a lot of focus on what you don't like. This happens. As I said, 99% of guys that I end up speaking with, there's a lot of focus, a lot of mental energy and thinking time and attention is placed on what they don't like. And that feeds and fuels and creates more of what you don't like. Where your attention goes, the energy flows. It's the old law of attraction type thing. But it's like law of attraction, woo-woo, like you mightn't like that, but it's like grounded neurophysiology. When you repeatedly focus on a certain outcome, it's the classic thing. It's you become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you haven't heard that term, it's like you're fulfilling a prophecy. It's like by focusing on what you don't like, you guarantee the continuation of that. And hence, you know, the vast majority of marriages, in the beginning, it's nice and it's easy because it's easier in the beginning. There's less shit to focus on, but it's easier to focus on the nice things because, you know, your wife and you're showing each other the nicer parts of you, and, you know, like the kitchen sink part of marriage has yet to come, and then maybe kids comes, and then career change, and then, you know, the pressures, you know, you buy your home, which is like society has told us you have to buy a home, and you know, you probably got a house just, you know, big enough to do the whole lot. So there's quite the financial pressure to pay that off, and that puts pressure on you have to commute to, you have to get to promotion, which means more hours of work and blah, blah, blah. You know the story. It's a regular story. The vast majority of family men have this inner world conflict of, you know, you really love your woman. And like, I like really ground in on that. I've yet to meet a guy that doesn't love his woman deep down. It's like he really loves her. Like the deepest frustration is that, you know, the love isn't expressed and like it's not reciprocated from her, etc., etc. Main point is not having a vision. I call it being lost. Lost is an acronym. Lack of specific target. LOST. Well done, Mark. You can spell. 99% of married men are lost, lacking a specific target. Like, my question to you, again, this is not a passive journey ever in this podcast. I want every single episode to be of maximum value for you to transform your marriage and your life, inner world and outer world. My question to you, incredible brother, already showing up courageously in the arena of marriage, do you have a written out, well reflected upon vision for your marriage and married life? The marriage is like very explicitly, you know, yourself, your woman, how precisely your relationship with her, you want that to go long term, you know, a year or a 10-year plan vision, and your married life. The whole ecosystem around that, because, you know, it's very hard to separate those. Do you have that? Do you have a document? Do you have a sheet of paper? Have you reflected upon that to a level where you can say yes with great clarity and confidence? Yes, I have that. I'm really clear what I'm working towards. If you answer yes, you are so far ahead of the game. If you answer no, there's no problem with that. There's no shame in this game. That's okay. It just means you're human. In the whole overwhelming busyness of life, you know, sometimes it's hard to prioritize for these things. We don't realize the absolute life transformative nature of this type of a habit of keeping an evolving, compelling vision front and center in front of you. That's okay. But I'm sort of setting the invitation in front of you and the challenge in front of you that, you know, if you're looking, you know, just getting down to brass tacks here, you know, if the title Be the Husband She Brags About in the podcast attracted you in the beginning, you're probably like most guys, you're probably like myself, you know, a few years ago, where, you know, your marriage was giving you something very far from your woman bragging about you. You know, hence the title sort of provoked you. It's like, hey, I'd like to know what it means to, how do you become the husband? How do I bring that out in myself? And that's a pure, brilliant, amazing thing that you're listening in now. It's like, I honor you. Again, there's no shame here. I honor you. There's a lot of guys read that title and they shied off it because it was like, you know, the self-protective inner critic, you know, shames him in private and then, you know, judges other people can go, oh, who the fuck is that? Like, what a bollocks of a title. And they scurried on, living unhappily ever after. You had the cock and balls, the courage to actually click on and go, hey, let's do this dance. What's this podcast about? I want to know something about this. So you're ahead of the game and I honor that courage in you. But my invitation and challenge is you got to build on that. And that courage in you, liken it to like a candle flame. The whole point and purpose of Be the Husband She Brags About, like my intention here is like from a metaphorical perspective. I speak a lot of different metaphors. I don't know if I've spoken this, but it really drives me on. It's like my perspective is like you have this candle burning inside of you. You know, some people call it hope, some people call it spirit, love, whatever. There's this inner nature of you, this infinite potentiality. And it never goes out. Ever. We just have to get that candle flame and create an environment around it that protects us from all the influences in the world that pretend to try and snuff it out. And it's our spiritual job as, well, we're talking about being husbands. It's our spiritual job as husbands. It's like the one major mission we have in marriage is to do whatever is necessary to keep that protected from bullshit negative forces. But on the, it's no good just cutting out negative forces. We've got to like give it the fuel and let the oxygen in at it and do whatever is necessary to get that candle flame blazing like a bushfire of love, of presence, of hope, of unstoppability. That is our job as husbands. And to do that job, one of the foundational things is set a vision, an evolving vision that grows with you, adapts with you as you learn more about yourself, you learn more about your values, you learn more in your journey in this podcast of, wow, you know, that reflection, that my authentic self, I have not been myself at the beginning of my marriage. Guys, that's true for like so many, the vast majority of men. One of the major difficulties is as you come into marriage, you start slowly but surely realizing like the man, the persona that you thought you were as a man at the beginning of marriage, as you lean in further and further into life, you start realizing, man, that like that wasn't my fullest, most radically honest, authentic, real self that kicked off this marriage. And you find that, well, your woman wasn't that whore, radical, authentic self. This is part of, like, we've just inherited this from society. Sort of a quite a superficial bullshit society and a profoundly sick society, as was it Jiddu Krishnamurti, as he called it, famously. So, the vision must evolve. It's no good having a vision that was set like, oh, well, 6 years ago I did this weekend course and I set a vision then, so yeah, I can tick that box. Bullshit. If it's like, if it's more than 6 months old, your vision, well, it's not keeping up to speed with you. We're keeping it really relevant to the evolving person that you are. Just setting a really high tone here, a high standard. I'm really putting it to you and inviting you in this and in every conversation. Set a fucking, like, unreasonably high standard of what you are now expecting from yourself as a man, as a husband, as a lover, if you're in the father game, as a father, as a family man. You are one of the most important leaders on the planet going forward, the next 7 generations after us. And let me be very clear, I rip the shit out of any bullshit that has been bombarded and shoved down our throats that life on earth is in total jeopardy, blah, blah, blah. There's a total hidden agenda in all of that. It's horrific. It's the only aim is to paralyze people en masse in just in the paralysis of abject inner fear. And at that point, when people experience total fear with no hope, they will receive any solution. And funnily enough, certain people with a hidden agenda will have the one perfect suggested solution, and everybody will go. There's hidden agendas. I don't believe any of that. I believe there are seven more generations to come beyond us, and it's essential that we do the work. That is why I remind us again and again, every single episode, better husbands today, better fucking world tomorrow. You better believe it. But that's part of, there's no hope for tomorrow without a compelling vision. With zero vision of a better tomorrow, we don't have hope. And hope is this unstoppable, it's a force that gives us unstoppability in ourselves to do whatever is necessary to transform ourselves, to make sure that, hey, whatever is in my today, you know, and I honor, just slowing down, I honor that you, like myself, a number of years ago, I mean, it could have been really feeling up shit creek without any paddle. It could seem, for some of you, maybe a few, it could seem quite hopeless today. It might be super intense. Your woman might be giving you a lot of shit. You just mightn't see that there's a way out of there. It can be like that. It was for me. I have been pushed to the point of suicidal tendencies many times in my intimate relationship. Well, several pockets of times, but in super intense ways because of that level of hopelessness. Going forward, I had no vision, but that's the thing, I had no vision. So this is point number one, building, like just really constructing and firing up the whole entire sacred context, you know, so your nervous system gets the point. It just goes, yeah, a fucking vision, I'm gonna do it, man. You say it to yourself. If you're driving, I'm just so pumped. Can you feel that energy? I'm just here like, wow, I'm fucking loving this episode. The energy I have. Like if you're driving the car, if you're in a space where you can just shout out, like make it live. Scream out in your car going, yeah, I'm going to fucking write a vision out. Fucking lock it into your nervous system. Declare it to yourself and to the world. I'm going to write this vision. So what would that vision look like, and how? I'm going to leave you with, I mean, the four prompts, they're not exclusively just the only prompts, of course, but it'll give you a starter, some practical starter that if you start journaling on this to bring up this incredible vision. You're really looking for your best case scenario in that. It doesn't matter what's showing up in your life now. This is the point of a vision. A vision is not like a cough and a burp of what you think could be possible. Like, you know, if things just got a little bit better, you know, maybe in the next 7 days, you know, she'd lay off me a little bit and maybe we could have sex once or twice. Like, no, fuck that. This is like high flame. This is the raging, unstoppable bushfire in you that writes this vision. Nothing else. Doesn't matter how traumatized you were growing up. It doesn't matter what your identity, what your frame of reference of life is now in your marriage. That's okay. That's you until now. This is about tomorrow, building an epic future for tomorrow that will inspire you, will guide you, but will inspire your woman when she feels you pulsating with this vision and you're unstoppably focused on finding opportunities to manifest this vision in your relationship. You're honoring yourself, herself, your marriage together, your sex life and your extended family, you know, married life. Man, that's going to be so compelling. She's going to feel your sexual energy. She's going to feel you so attracted. A man is hyper attractive for his woman when he's pulsating with a vision. That includes his marriage, his intimate life. It must include it. Four prompts. How would I love our communication to be like together? A lot of times, you know, communication can be nice, but can be superficial. The further you go in, like those nice, lovely, dramatic, long conversations you used to enjoy, you know, in the early days of the relationship, you used to stay awake, you know, till 3 and 4 in the morning, talking about your futures together, all the infinite possibilities. Now it's just down to repetitive conversations on practicalities, the kids' college fund, you know, who's minding the kids? Can I get off to my football practice or, you know, just career stuff? And all of that can be sacred in its own sense. But I'm talking about the communication goes really damp and stagnant. There's no radical aliveness. And when it's damp and stagnant, a lot of the time, a lot of frustration and resentment gets caught in the background, because you and your woman, again, we all have this candle and the candle never goes out. There's some force inside of us that says, there's more here for the taking. Why is it not coming? Come on, there's more here. There's more enthusiasm. There's more radical aliveness available to us. It's our conscience knocking on the door saying, hey, what the fuck, man? There's more here. Why are you not receiving more love? Why are you not receiving more enthusiasm from your woman? Why are you not feeling more alive in your communication? When that happens, and it happens in the vast majority of relationships, a lot of conflict comes in. So without going down the rabbit hole of sort of the, if you want to call them dysfunctional, but they're not dysfunctional. I won't go philosophical on that. When the signs and symptoms are that there's conflict and communication can't be great, set a vision. Get exact. How would you like communication to look together? And be bold. It's like, I don't want any more fights. I want it harmonious. I want it to feel radically alive. I want passion to be in there. I want to have enthusiasm when I'm speaking with my woman. I want to have, you know, my appreciation reciprocated. I want appreciation between us. I don't want any more name calling. So just not focus on the negative. What's the positive thing? I just want totally positive, self-affirming, appreciative language to be used. Go there. Really go there. Get explicit and direct. Another prompt. What is my perfect vision for our sex life? Fucking go there, man. Unleash that stallion inside of you. Let that testosterone flow through you. Enrich your whole sensory nervous system, your whole nervous system, and write it down. What is my perfect vision for our sex life? Does not matter what the past has brought you, what your present day marriage is. What do you want? What are your deepest unapologetic desires for your sex life? Put it down, man. When it's put down, well, then your nervous system clicks into gear. It's like, hey, I like that vision. And then there's this dynamic tension between my sex life now and that incredible vision. Your nervous system with a vision now knows, okay, well, that's my North Star. I'm not there today. What are the opportunities? It's not looking for things to complain about that are going to be self-fulfilling prophecies to more sexlessness going forward. No, it's going to only be obsessing on opportunities. Another prompt. What does perfect energetic connection look like for us? Just that connection, that invisible field of force. You know, there's communication, there's sex life, and in between, I call that connection. It's just this invisible. Even when your wife is not around or you go off, you're in work, are you feeling connected? Do you feel like this glowing sensation inside of you where it's like, I'm fucking good with my woman. She's my queen. She's my goddess. You know, whenever there's a spontaneous thought about her, I mean, you just feel connected. You feel good. And she feels good connected with you. Is that happening? Get your vision. What does that energetic, perfect energetic connection look like? And more importantly, what does that feel like for you? And then go beyond that. What does my expanded vision of married life look like? Hey, and this brings in a good bit of stuff. Can be like your career, can be your financial goals, can be, do you have free time? A lot of guys fucking hate and are deeply resentful. They mightn't even blame it on their wife or kids, but there's a deep resentment in the vast majority of men that they don't have enough time for themselves. They bust their ass honorably in work during the week, add the commute in, they mightn't have much time, and then at the weekend, I mean, they're taking up the slack, they're minding the kids, they're doing the chores, they're mowing the lawn, they're doing a ton of, like, family admin, and then it's Sunday evening again. It's like, man, back to the grindstone, and what? With the only outlook of I do that till I retire and then I can enjoy life, like, that's not good enough for you. That's definitely not good enough for your wife. It's not good enough for your kids. I mean, don't die with your music still in you type of shit. So get exact. What does my expanded vision of married life look like? And go crazy. Just to give you an example, myself and my queen are, I'd say, about six and a half years into a 10-year vision that we're leaning into. this podcast as part of it, my work, Marriage Transformation Heroes. It took me a good number of years to get to this level of crystallized clarity that is now building insane momentum that I'm enjoying. Guys, it took me a long while. It took the ecosystem of my married life to get up to speed with that. There was tons of healings. There was tons of bridges I had to go over on the inside to find bit by bit create that self-belief. Tons of stuff, along with my wife, along with my kids, okay? Set a vision that is worthwhile for you to go, man, if this takes 5 or 10 years to lean into, I will be the proudest man in the world if in 5 or 10 years' time I'm standing on that mountaintop, I'm feeling that confident, my wife is there with our sex life or connection or communication and this extended, expanded, married life version. I'm fucking living the dream, man. I'm doing it and I'm feeling good and fulfilled in my marriage along with it. Along with these all these other external missions and dreams and manifestation ideas that you have. Well, 5, 10 years, that's okay. Actually, it's a really powerful thing. Again, vision. Vision about your marriage, your married life expanded. That is what will drive you forward. Without that vision, you're not going to be feeling anywhere near radically alive as a man. Life is going to get pretty fucking meaningless. And without vision, without motivation, without something to focus on, and a deep sense of meaningless in the whole lot of it, you're not going to be the most attractive man to be looking at and to be in the presence of. Just calling a spade here. I wasn't the most attractive man to be around. Because why? When I was pulsating with, like, I'm a visionless, fucking meandering driftwood on shitty waters. Like, I wasn't giving much to my wife to brag about. Like, calling my own shit. I had to get really humble at one point and go, man, I mean, you're directionless, fucking mediocrity is like the best of what it was. Great intentions, great guy, you know, do nice things around the house, do nice things with the kids, and oh, I show up with a nice smiley face. Wasn't worth fucking shit to my woman long term. It wasn't inspiring. I wasn't inspired. That's all. That was all on me. It's all on you if you don't have a vision. So set the vision. Step number one. Number two, guys, passion is really going so much into this. There's a part of me that's like, man, maybe just vision was was the podcast episode. I want to give you so much. Vision is number one. Number two, identity. Oh. So you set the vision. Then there can be this, like, one reason why we don't set a vision is we don't have a set identity. An identity is what gives us the belief that we can go get, go achieve that vision. But vision, when you do the vision and you go fearless at it, you put your whole heart and soul into it, well, now your soul and your nervous system has something to aim at. So identity comes next. The question to answer is, if I've set such an aspirational vision, who do I need to become to make this vision a reality? Slow down there. Who do I need to become to make this vision a reality? When was the last time you set a goal, you set an aspirational vision or target that you had to slow down? Not just like for a moment like this, but you had to slow down and do some deep soul searching and ask yourself that question. Or versions of that question. Who do I need to become as a man to make this vision a reality? Where do I need to expand to? Like, what traits do I have that I need to quadruple down on? What skill set do I need to upgrade? What belief system do I need? What level of confidence do I just... Is it... It's inarguable. I need that level of self-belief. Who do I need to become from a belief... A state of belief from my skill set, from my traits? Who do I need to become? It was Tony Robbins... Well, it was. He still says it. The quote from Tony Robbins... The strongest force in the human personality is the need to stay consistent with how we define ourselves. He's talking about identity. Now, this is a curse and a blessing, just depending how you go at it. The strongest force is the need to stay consistent with how we define ourselves. Well, if every man listening in, like if your marriage is not showing out, showing up the way you'd ideally want it to, and there's like points to complain, it's a bit stagnant, or it's just downright fucking dramatic and everything in between, like that's okay. But you have created the perfect married life experience in line with how you self-identify as a man and as a husband. Guys really resist this idea. It's so much easier temporarily to blame your woman, to blame the situation, to blame her for, you know, rejecting your initiation of sex, to blame, oh, since the kids came and work and my woman doesn't understand me, and so like, oh, just, I don't blame my woman, but just married life is just fucking impossible. It's like my company, my boss, the overtime, what I need to do to make cash, and then just blame, I just don't have energy, and this is just impossible. And to wallow into overwhelm, your perceptual reality is built from your identity. And your identity will do everything in its power to stay consistent with how you define yourselves. So if you have an upper limit on how you identify as a husband, as a lover, you'll get to a certain point of love and acceptance and honoring in your relationship, and that's it. Your identity will not allow you to go any further. Hence, now the flip side, that's the part of it when it's subconscious and running the show. You bring this conscious, and this is why it's step number two. It's absolutely essential to reflect upon this and get crystal clear. Who do I identify as a husband? Who do I identify when I think of myself as a lover? Who is that? Who is that guy? Who do I identify? And it's not to get caught up there, but it's like, that's where you're starting from. Where do I want to go? What's my highest available aspirational identity? And can I bring that down to, it's preferable to bring it down to a few words. You know, like one name. You can reflect a lot about the attributes and like what this guy looks like and feels like and who he'd be. Like the more depth you bring to it. But for the purpose of just being more concise and on point, you know, the aspirational identity that I have in myself, I'll offer this forward as one you can take. It's sort of like ready to go. Takeaway style is hero husband. That supports me. You know, I have tons of subconscious momentum from my, you know, not ideal past, the modeling of being a husband, being a lover, being a family man, the state of presence and consciousness that was necessary. There's still a lot of momentum there. So, but this really supports me. It's like my question will be, you know, what would a hero husband do now? How would the hero husband in me respond in this situation? I can be in full-on conflict with my woman, and sometimes that's the thing that catches me. Like, who am I? I'm a hero husband. Okay. A switch goes off. It's like an identity switch. It's like, okay, fuck. I'm not this inner child moping. God, I'm feeling rejection and like the old childhood traumas and wounds. Man, they're still there in my nervous system. It's how you play with that. It's like, if that comes up, then can I get a switch? And that switch is identity. Can I switch in to being a hero husband? What would he think now? Is this part of you? It's your higher self. You can call it from a Christian, but this, it's your Christ consciousness within. It's the light within. It's the hope. It's your Buddha nature. It's the wise inner guide. You know, there's this part in you that it's like the flame. It's this part in you that has the wisdom and knows already what's necessary in the moment. And then there's your smaller minded part, your persona. That's okay. That's just part of the human journey. But when you reflect on identity, you're drawing out this wisest part of you, your hidden essence. I Again, this is spiritual path. You speak about the Buddhist path, Christian path, Hindu path. Every single mystical, religious, spiritual tradition uses different language, but it's coming home to this inner part of you that aligns with the outer or greater God and whatever word you use. But like, that's the inner world hero's journey as a human being. And it's getting to that highest identity in you. When you reflect on this, well, then this strongest force in the human personality, as Robbins speaks to, the strongest force inside of you is driving you forward to manifesting and embodying your highest self. For the purpose here, I'm saying to embody your hero husband. Let's play with those words. Hero husband. Who's the hero husband in you? What is he capable of? What level of radiating love and acceptance is he capable of loving himself? You know, I talk about to ferociously love and accept yourself. To ferociously love and accept your wife. To ferociously love and accept your life. What level of ferocious love and acceptance does the hero husband identity in you? What is he capable of? The answer is, it's infinite love. That's the highest identity in you as a man. I really want to let you know this. It doesn't matter what your identity has been. We've all been through shitty times growing up. We didn't have ideal parents. It's not to blame them, but we didn't have ideal parents in a society that was not ideal, in millennia of social conditioning that has dampened down our flame. It's like a lot of bullshit, but it's not to blame them. It's to realize, I'm off the hook for what I inherited. Yes, you are. But you're totally responsible for what you do from this moment onwards. It's all on you. So it will serve you really powerfully to reflect upon and get your identity in shape. Here's the beautiful thing. And like, this is the secret to a limitless marriage and life. And I want you to really reflect on this identity point. Identity is not a static shoe size entity. This is major. This changed everything for me with guys that I coach one-on-one. I mean, it just changes the entire way that you look at marriage and your extended married life and your potentiality as a man to create whatever marriage, sex life, and expanded married life that you want. Identity is not a static shoe size entity. What I mean by that, look at identitas. That's the root of the word identity. And what that means, and you got to go back to the root of words that we fucking throw about, but we don't reflect upon what it means. Oh, identity, that's really interesting. It doesn't get interesting and compelling till you know what the root meaning is. Identitas means repeated beingness. We've grown up in a society that beats the shit out of us and, you know, is super enthusiastic at putting us down and put it like, who the fuck do you think you are? Do you know, we have you ever found that? Is there a part of your mind like that inner critic that it will cut you off? And part of it, there can be 10,000 different ways of saying this, but like the golden thread is like this idea of coming from, well, who the fuck am I to think I can, you know, like, fill in the gap, like from a husband perspective, to have an amazing sex life. Who the fuck am I to think I can, you know, deserve love and respect and appreciation from my wife? Who the fuck am I to think I can create abundance from a job I love, allowing me to come home full of life? Who the fuck am I to think I can have free time to myself the weekend? I've just got to put up and shut up. You know, it's this idea. But if you believe it's a static entity, well, then you don't question it and you just put up, shut up, you minimize and normalize and you live unhappily ever after. High chance is you're going to have a shitty married life experience. You might, I think this is actually the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is you live together unhappily ever after. Both just going, we just got to fucking tolerate the status quo bullshit. The second most worst case scenario is divorce. I actually have like the worst case scenario is just fucking living like shit together till you retire and beyond an old age, looking back, from your deathbed going, man, that was a pile of fucking muck. I wish I could go back to my 30s or my 40s and just change the whole thing. And this is what I'm talking about. Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023 is going to be like just lighting the fire of God in you, like radical enthusiasm and theos, the God within, and getting at that vision and coming from this identity. But identity is repeated beingness, which means once you set the vision and once you reflect upon the identity, and it's meant to be a push, it's like this identity, like hero husband, that inner voice can go, I'm fucking far from a hero husband. The point is, it's a place to come from. And you show up today and you go, well, what would a hero husband do today? The answer will come to you. It's like, go and hug her. It's like, shut the fuck up and stop giving out. Just help her out at home preparing. She's feeling overwhelmed. You know, the hero husband part was like, just listen to her. She needs to be listened to. Stop trying to fix her. The hero husband, that wise guide part of you, will come up with a lot of really great, grounded options available to you that will create connection, will bring more communication. Will the more you come from there, the more your woman will feel you. She'll feel attracted to you. She'll know, man, there's something different about him. Repeatedly coming from there over the days, the weeks and the months ahead, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but a couple of months later, you're like, man, you're just seeing the evidence coming from that identity. You're like, man, my marriage is going a bit better, man, we're communicating better. You know, it's like, oh wow, we haven't argued in months. It's just a surprise. I remember that happening with me. It was like, just going to my wife. It's like, we had like this cyclical, we would go fucking stagnant to crazy mad dramatic. And like, this was just it for years. And then it just was this wake up call one day. I was like, wow. I just turned to her in the bed. It was like, we haven't argued in months. And we both burst out laughing. It was like, wow, it was amazing. My identity was shifting. Repeatedly coming from a new identity, my marriage was shifting. This has transformed everything for me. And I inherited an identity that was pretty fucking shit in marriage. Pretty shit as a husband, as a lover, as a communicator, etc. I did not come into this. So I just called bullshit in that part of your mind that goes, well, it's okay for Mark. It's not fucking okay for Mark. I didn't inherit, like, I inherited shit. And my wife was like, from a wounded perspective, catastrophic to deal with. So it is a definite case. If I can do it, you can do it. But getting a grounded identity to come from changed everything for me, and with the guys at work and with every guy in Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023, this is going to fucking transform everything for them. So get that. The last thing to say in identity, that really, it's like, this is one of the most powerful things in peak performance psychology. The as if principle. There's I'm just really wanting to pack so much value into this for you. The as if principle is this, like, when you have your identity, the aspirational identity, I'm going with, for simplicity purposes, hero husband, act as if, just act as if you're a hero husband. Oh, but I'm not that good. Just act as if, you know, pretend, fake it till you make it. That takes a lot of flack, but there's a lot of wisdom in it. Just act as if you're a hero husband. One thing I used, the act as if principle, the as if principle as it's known, really profoundly, and I still do, I lean in on it, is in sexual shame. I was a disaster in the bedroom. I didn't know how to access this, like, any confidence in how I was approaching my woman in physically, sexually, emotionally. It was a disaster zone. I just realized, I still remember the night. It was like, hey, I was coming up. I was feeling really bad. It was like sort of a date night. It was like, yeah, we had set it up for it. I was feeling like shit. There was shame taking me over. And then I had read about this, heard it in a podcast, and I was like, fuck, let's try this. And I'm telling you guys, not kidding. I went into the bedroom. I just, my inside story was, just act as if you're a brilliant lover. How would a brilliant lover just approach this? And I got bold and I got direct and I just fucking went at it. And funny enough, my cock responded, my sexual center responded, and most importantly, my wife loved it. Act as if. That's another great incredible insight from peak performance psychology. Like top end Olympians, top end sports people, top end performers, musicians use this shit. I'm saying to you, use it as a husband. Act as if you are that aspirational identity. Get the identity, live into it. Who do I need to become? And just fucking start coming from there, man. You are able. I believe in you. Number one is vision. Number two is identity. And number three is decide. This is... let's get to the root of another word here, guys. I'm going to call bullshit 99% of the decisions that most guys make. Most decisions are not decisions. Oh, I decided to give up smoking. Oh, I decided to get rich. Oh, I decided, you know, I was going to keep my marriage together. I decided, you get the point. Decisions, they're everywhere. Or are they? Because when you get to the root of the word decision, which comes from the Latin decire, and decire is related to incision. If you think decision, incision. Incision is to cut into. Cision, okay? Incire, decire. Incision is to cut into. Decire is to cut away. So a decision is not a decision until you have reflected upon, point number one, the vision. What it is you want to create, what it is your goal, what's the end point. You know, it's not a decision until you have clarity about what the end point is. Oh, I decided to stop smoking. Well, the vision is you not smoking. Being rich, I decided to get rich. I decided to create a career as a coach. Well, you have to what's the best case scenario vision of that? And then you decide to become a world-class coach. But no decision has happened until this point, this bridge has been crossed. Until you have defined with the greatest clarity available to you what it is you need to cut out of your life. What you need to cut out in thoughts, in inner world habits, on your inside. What you need to cut out of your existence. In your thinking, your talking, and your taking action, and by extension, the people you hang around, where it is you place your mind and your attention, you need to get crystal clear what you need to hack ruthlessly out of your lived experience to make the embodiment and the achievement, the manifestation of that vision possible. That's how you find the path of least resistance. That's a decision. When you go by that root meaning of the word decision, decire, to cut away, you will find that 99% of decisions aren't actually, really, by the definition, the root definition, they're not decisions. And again, you know, a lot of people think decision is, you know, oh, that's the day I made the decision. Yes, there can be that one point in time, but the most powerful decisions are not a once-off occasion. Oh, I decided then, and then obstacles came in my path. That's the thing. A decision is a living, evolving entity that evolves with you on the journey to becoming the man, the identity, on the road to manifesting the vision. So it's point one and point two. The decision is this awareness that comes with you. It's like, what do I need to cut out? What are the obstacles, the inner obstacles and the outer obstacles that I need to cut out to make becoming that man necessary to make it to the destination, the highest vision? What do I need to cut out? I like, is a coach I follow, Rich Litvin. He talks about the hell no list. Every high performer needs to define what his or her hell no list is. And from a husband perspective, hey man, let's cut the bullshit. What's good for you as a husband is great for you as a man. And this is why you know, I really call bullshit, and so many guys get resentful when their woman gives them feedback. It's like, oh, you're late home, or hey, like, you know, it's like, and guys get disgruntled and resentful and taken in a shitty way because they've undealt with inner child stuff and they didn't like their mother not allowing their authentic self come through, so they take it out on their wife. Man, I'm not getting flippant. I did it for years, but that's inner child undealt with shit. I mean, what's good for you to show up as a powerful husband is epic for you showing up as a man. So, you know, oh, but I don't want to cut all of this out, you know, if that's necessary to be a great husband and be in marriage, like, there's way too much discipline necessary in that. I'm cutting out all the enjoyable things. Come on. Like, well, if you're thinking like that, if it's too much of, here's the thing, and this is why they all stack on one another. If you haven't done the work to create a compelling vision and you haven't reflected upon the identity, well, then there is going to be a part of you that's naturally resentful and resistant to cutting out the nice stuff. This is why most people, they try to give up cigarettes, they go back on them. They try to cut down on alcohol, they go back on them. They try and cut out porn, they go back on it. Why? Because they've no compelling vision that makes it all worthwhile. They haven't reflected upon an identity where they're like, man, I fucking love coming from this hero husband part of me. I love coming in business. I come from a CEO identity. I don't, my shadow is, I don't get what I want. I'm like, I've no right to think in financial abundance. No, my CEO identity is like, I show up from there. My whole business has been transforming the last 12 months as a result of coming from that identity. But the price you need to pay is you need to cut out. For a great vision, you need to cut shit out of your life to make it happen. Otherwise, if you're not willing to cut out the shit, your vision isn't big enough for your soul to say, yeah, you've probably coughed and burped out, projectile vomited out a vision that is like, man, that's just fucking, like, that's, you've moved a needle, a nudge. Like, it's the needle has barely flickered. You haven't given yourself a compelling vision. So it all works in together. But a decision, like the hell no list from a husband perspective, a hero husband perspective, your highest self perspective, you going on a vision that is worthy of your soul, that will leave you on your deathbed, like, knowing that you did not leave this earth with your music still in you, in marriage, in your love life, in your extended married life. The hell no list, a lot of the times, and touch base with yourself, you know, is there certain parts of this that you could, I won't use a word should, I don't like that word, but that you could, and it would be beneficial to your highest self in manifesting a married life with your woman, with your queen, that would have you feeling much better and have this infinite potentiality coming out around you. Would it benefit you to stick porn on a hell no list? You just need to cut that out. Would that, is that a part for you? Sleeping in. Do you find yourself just sleeping in? You might get up in a work day, but like the weekends, you just lounge in bed because why the fuck else would you get up? And you might like identify, oh, but it's my right and I love sleeping in. But like if you got up at, I'm getting up recently, last 3 weeks, I'm getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning. It's off the charts what I'm achieving in my life and the podcast and my work. But like my married life is brilliant. I'm having time to play with my kids and I'm having self time. I get up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday as well. I got up at 5 a.m. last Sunday, got up, had my cold shower, came back up. We had Sensual Sunday together, myself and my wife. Fucking the most exhilaratingly complete and fulfilling weeks I've had in my married life so far. That, I had to cut out sleeping in. I was like, I was getting up at 6:30. I was like, hey, like, let's cut that out and let's go to 5 a.m. Social media. How many minutes, if not hours, in your days, in your weeks, do you spend on social media? The average time is frightening out there. I've heard different reports, but like, man, it can be really high. Oh, but it's just this. Well, what is just this? Guys would say half an hour, and like when they become really aware of it, coaching clients, they start going, man, it's like I was an hour and a half there the other night. How often does that happen? Well, it happened a few nights. 1 hour per day. Let's do the maths on it. 1 hour per day over 365 days. That's 9.5 work weeks of time you have burned up scrolling on bullshit. Just call a spade 90% of his bullshit. Oh, but I look at this inspiration stuff and I look at that, like, cool. But if you're looking at inspirational stuff and it's feel good, you're also sedating, because if you, when you have an expanded vision that's worthy of your soul, you won't have time for social media. No matter how inspirational it might seem to you, you won't have time for it, because you're going to be planting seeds and next actions towards that vision. Social media, alcohol, recreational drugs, complaining, blaming your wife, inner mental chatter just camping out in your head, fucking bitching about your wife, complaining about it, shaming yourself. Do you know how much of your time, your mental chatter is like you're just sitting there and you're just mulling over and beating yourself up. Avoiding confrontation. You know, there's a great life is the result of powerful 5 and 10 minute conversations. That's like one of the key things. And if you're avoidant of conflict and confrontation, which 90% of men, definitely in marriage, we have inherited this habit. There again, it's not on you. There's no blame in this. There's no shame in you going, yeah, fuck, I probably need to work on that. Awareness is key. But that does not help. That might be a hell no, like to avoiding confrontation. Ignoring sexless marriage. Hell no list. I'm not going to ignore this anymore. I'm not going to minimize and normalize. Fuck it. No, I want to have a great sex life. Hating feedback. A hell no list. Stop resisting feedback from your woman. Feedback from your woman is one of the most life-enriching gifts. And if it's been landed progressively on a plate that is quite shitty, I can tell you for a fact, high chance is, 99.9999% high chance is, practically nobody is in that 0.00001% thing. It's coming like her nastiness in the way she, what you might judge as being, oh, she's so critical of me and she's always giving me shit. It's because you have been so resistant in just receiving feedback and thanking for her. Not just being gracious, thanking her. Not just thanking her when it comes, calling her, saying, hey, baby, you're not giving me red hot feedback here. I really want more of it. Hating feedback, resisting feedback, that is definitely on the hell no list. Going to be working with guys in Marriage Transformation Heroes on this. Supporting you, setting the intention to cut out, but acting on it. Watching too much TV, again, it's time wasted and stuff. What is it giving to you? Like all this entertainment, and like, is it 90% of the time it's sedating? You know, the background angst in your nervous system of a life of unlived potential. Skipping the gym. And I mentioned there, in general, unacted upon potential as being a general one. And a ton of stuff can come in under that in your hell no list. That's your hell no list. Another part is like, what's your wife's I wish you wouldn't do that list? This will reveal more stuff of, you know, to create that vision, to come from the identity of hero husband. Maybe not all the feedback that she would give you is totally valid. But in my experience, you know, definitely when you start receiving the feedback and you are consciously asking for the feedback, I know now the feedback is valid, it's on point every single time. It was just in the beginning, the first couple of days and weeks when I started really asking for the feedback. I mean, there was a bit of background tension. There was a bit of like, you know, I'd been ignoring that feedback for, you know, 12 years. So there was a little bit of a higher load when my wife finally had the space to just tell me. But hey, it's a bumpy road for like a very short period of time. I can guarantee you that, you know, part of Marriage Transformation Heroes is going to be the exercise. Go to your wife, first couple of weeks. Hey, get her feedback. What do you wish I would stop doing? What's your this list? I need to get a wish list from you, my divine goddess queen, what you wish I would stop doing and stop like resisting the feedback on. What are the mundane things the things that my mind think are mundane, so I don't put the priority on them to change, and you, that puts you repeatedly on a roundabout giving me the same feedback, like catastrophically putting a weight on your shoulders with this resistance of this man that's stuck in mediocrity. What are the things I think are mundane, but they're actually massively important to you? I want to know. I'm going to put them on the list, and I promise you, I will adapt, I will improve, and show you progress. This is all in the decision, guys. You can feel it from my energy. Man, I want you to know, I want to reach out in you. I want to click my fingers, boom, click, and I'm sitting in the seat beside you in your car going to work. I click my fingers, I'm on the trail, you know, as you're running or as you're walking, and I'm there beside you. I know it would be a freakish thing to do, and it'd probably give you a fucking stroke or a heart attack, but I want to be there. Energetically, I want to be there with you now, man, having a cup of coffee. We're just shooting the fucking breeze. This is what, like, the Marriage Transformation Discovery Call is all about, to connect with you directly and just let you know and support you through just your vision, your identity, and the capacity to make powerful decisions. Because when you get the three of these humming inside your nervous system, when your nervous system has a vision of your marriage, your sex life, your expanding married life, you know, there's the 4-month marriage transformation. That's very much within the marriage, the connection, the communication, and the sexual attraction. But that's the foundation stone for your extended 5-year, 10-year expanding married life one. That's why it's such a potent experience. When you get that vision in your nervous system, you're jumping out of bed. You actually want more hours in your day to do the inspirational stuff, the types of projects and ideas and habits and places and people that you talk to and the activities that you do with your woman. You want to have those inspirational conversations. You don't avoid the conversations anymore. You're proactively going at it because you have a vision. Your whole nervous system has a sight, an inner sight, an outer sight. You're looking for opportunities that will help you nudge or make a quantum leap, whatever is available to progress you from where you are now towards manifesting that goal. Marriage Transformation Heroes is all about that. It's insane. It's downright miraculous to the everyday husband's expectations. It's miraculous what can happen in 4 months. It's available to you, but only when you're fueled with a vision. Identity. Coming into landing here, number one is vision. Number two, repetition is mastery. Identity. Who do you need to become to make your highest vision about your marriage and your married life a reality? Get that aspirational identity. I gift you that. That's a simple one. It works for me. Some clients have taken it as well. Hero husband. What would a hero husband think now? What would a hero husband say now? What response would a hero husband, would the hero husband in me, you know, what response would he take now? Come from there. Go beyond who the fuck you think you are to have this incredible life and just trust that inner force inside of you. Remember, repeated beingness and the as-if principle. What if you just from today decided, I'm just going to show up as if I am a hero husband, as if I am like an incredible red-hot like Latin lover, as if I am the world's best communicator. What would the world's best communicator do in this moment of conflict? Come from that as if you already are that person, and you will find bit by bit, day by day, that progress. Your nervous system will just mold and evolve into embodying that identity as your true self. And number three, remembering decision. But a decision is an evolving entity. You decide today, but you show up tomorrow, pulsating a full awareness, a keen awareness of that decision being made in your nervous system. You're constantly reflecting on what doesn't fit that vision, what doesn't fit that new identity of where I'm coming from. You know, the porn, too much TV, skipping the gym, all of these habits and activities and the people you hang around, that is like, man, I just need to cut them out. Definitely minimize them. A lot of the stuff, just cut the fucking bullshit out of your life and open yourself up to creating this insane one in a million type marriage, sex life, and expanding married life experience that you're deserving of, man. Doesn't matter what identity you brought into this conversation today. You're not responsible for what happened to you and what you were like put upon you and your nervous system as you developed. to have the mind that you come into this conversation with, but you are entirely responsible for the response that you take from today going forward. It's all there on the table for you. Vision multiplied by a higher identity, multiplied by your courage to be truly decisive and cut out the bullshit in your way as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a family man, father, of manifesting the most beautiful marriage and married life experience that you deserve, your woman definitely deserves, and the next seven generations thereafter, you model the type of heroic husband that just inspires the world. Coming into landing, why we do this thing? Why bother? Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Before you go, definitely check Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023. Click in the link. Man, you could be in that really small band of brothers that in 4 months' time will never look back on their marriage in the same way. It's onwards and upwards and nonstop expansion that awaits you. Check it out today, man. Go have a beautiful, kingly day.